Amen. All right. We're in Acts chapter number 4 tonight. We're going to start reading in verse number 1. I think I'll just read the whole chapter. I hope you do not get upset over people reading the Bible. But I'm going to go through this chapter. I'm trying to move along a little bit faster. I started out a little bit there. But before we do that, remember that the church of Corinth was a church that had a lot of problems. And we're going to start addressing some of those problems really after chapter number 4. It really starts to get into the problems of a church. I think chapter number 4, the message we're going to look at today, will help us as a church not have many problems if we could just learn to be one thing. We're going to look at that in a few minutes, but the Bible says in chapter number 4, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Now, a mystery in the Bible isn't something that we're not ever going to find out or we're trying to find out. A mystery, Acts chapter number 4, or 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. What am I talking about? Y'all know I'm doing a study in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I don't know what I said Acts chapter 4 for. But anyway, a mystery is something that was the Old Testament people didn't know about it that God revealed in the New Testament. That was a mystery. And so you and I are ministers of the ministry of some mysteries that God didn't reveal. It says in verse number 2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I hereby justified. But he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? Now you are full, now you are rich, you have reigned as kings without us. I would to God you did reign, that we might also reign with you. For I think that God has set forth us the apostles last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour we both hunger and thirst, and are naked and are buffeted and have no certain dwelling place, and labor working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer for it, being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world and as the offscouring of all things unto this day. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, you have not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, and who shall bring you unto remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Now some are puffed up, as though I would not come to you. But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod, or in love and in meekness, spirit of meekness? There's a lot of things in this chapter. Of course, we do not have time to cover them all. But this is the Apostle Paul, I think, is telling the church and getting the church ready as a minister of what his job was. Now, as we mentioned, the church at Corinth had many, many problems. 1 Corinthians, we're going to start looking at them next week, at the problems that they had. And I think in here in chapter number 4 that Paul tells us what we need in our lives if we're not going to have those problems. And it's given to us in verse number 2. The Bible says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. I have in my phone, I thought about reading it, but I had a text this morning from somebody who really is angry at God. And they're angry at God because he's not answering their prayers and things aren't going the way they should go and stuff. And it is a very good person who does a lot for people, but she's not really faithful to God. And I text her back and I said, you know, I said, when God is not answering our prayers, the most common reason for God not answering our prayers is because we have sin and iniquity in our life. And iniquity is that cold feeling toward God. We could take him or we could leave him. Listen, you could be coming to church and stuff, but you're here tonight, but you would much rather be somewhere else. You'd rather be doing something. You would rather be anywhere else but here. You know, but to be faithful isn't just about doing what should be done. It's a heart issue of your heart being faithful to the Lord. And to be honest, we all struggle with that. You know, I would like to tell you that every morning I wake up and I'm super Christian, but I'm just not. And I struggle just like everybody else struggles. But listen, you can be a believer and not be faithful. You can be going to heaven. This one person, they say they're saved. I have no reason to doubt their salvation. I don't know who is and who is not. But there's a difference in being a believer and being what's called a steward here. A steward is, you realize something. Does a steward own anything? Everything that steward has belongs to somebody else, and he's administering that which he has. And so what are we stewards of? Well, you know, we're stewards of the time that God has given us. It's amazing. I've been visiting Mike Walton this week a couple of times, and, you know, he's struggling with the death of his mom. I was walking yesterday morning. I took a walk and was walking through town, and an ambulance went by with the siren blaring and stuff, and that's exactly what happened on the day that Teresa Easton had her stroke. Me and Deborah were walking that day, and an ambulance went through town, and I did what I always do. If I see a helicopter, if I see an ambulance, I just said, Lord, I don't know what's going on, but please bless those first responders and whoever's going, be with the family and help them. Prayed this morning, don't know where that ambulance was, and then a little while later, we got the phone call, and we found out that she had had the stroke and stuff. And even to this day, 56, 53, something like that, and Miss Teresa's gone, and she's left behind children, she's left behind grandchildren, and a mother, and all of these people wonder what's going on. You know, I don't have all of those answers, but I can tell you what you're supposed to do. Keep being faithful. Keep being faithful. And you know what? They wonder why. They wonder, why aren't our prayers answered? Well, let me ask you a question. Are you faithful? Now, God, sometimes even if we're faithful, we ask for things that we really don't need. And it's, God can say no. The Apostle Paul, was the Apostle Paul faithful? Yeah, but he prayed three times that God would remove a thorn in the flesh. And what did God say? No, I'm not going to remove it because it's there for your good. And so we need to learn to be faithful. And I believe, really, the church at Corinth, had they have been faithful, there would not have been the troubles that they were having. And we're going to look at some things about being faithful. Let me ask you today, are you really faithful? And then let me ask you this, who gets to define faithful? I don't get to define it. I've defined it for my life. I know what faithful is for me. Faithful for me is I'm going to try to be where God wants me, when God wants me. And listen, being faithful will not affect my time with my wife and my time with my children. God doesn't expect me, and I know some preachers who are not faithful when they give every minute to the ministry because they still have a responsibility to their family and stuff. And so being faithful is doing what God wants you to do when God wants you to do it. And so this evening we're going to have a brief message tonight. We're going to talk about being faithful. Father, I pray that you would help us, Lord, for the next 20 minutes as we look at just a few things here tonight. And dear God, I'm going to move through them quickly because I got several things I want to remind people of and ask you to please bless and help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Number one, we're to be faithful whether people like it or people don't like it. Whether people like you or whether people don't like you. In verse number 3 and 4, the Apostle Paul said, it's a very small thing for you to judge me. In other words, the Apostle Paul said, I don't care whether you judge me or not. Let me ask you a question. Were there people at Corinth that didn't like Paul? Absolutely. They hated Paul's guts. I told somebody the other day, I was talking to a preacher friend of mine today, he's going through a rough time. I said, you know, I just almost gotten used to being hated. You know, I don't like it, but I've almost gotten used to it. I was somewhere making a visit this week, and I was visiting this man who's a part of the family, and he started telling me of his family members that didn't like me. And I said, I know they don't like me, and I don't know why, you know. I said, they never told me why they didn't like me. They just don't like me. Can I change that? Man, if you don't tell me what you dislike about me, I can't change it. Now, if you're going to tell me something that you dislike about me from the Bible, that I do from the Bible, then you better bring your Bible and show me that I'm wrong. There is a group on YouTube, and their title of their thing is Wretched. And I don't even know what doctrine they are. They may not be sound doctrinally, but I want you to understand something. They don't like the way the churches in America are headed with their compromising, won't preach against sin, won't stand up. And he read an article of this preacher's wife. They went in and spent a couple of days with one of these mega churches and mega preachers, and they asked his wife all these questions, and they had her answers written down, and she wouldn't answer nothing. If they asked about abortion, and she said, well, we just love everybody, and God loves everybody, and we're just going. You know what? If you're here tonight and you've had an abortion, can I tell you something? I love you. God in heaven loves you. God will forgive you for that. But He did never intended for you to have that abortion. And it was a sin against God. And you need to ask God to forgive you and help you. I'm not up here throwing stones at you. I'm up here to help you get back in the right. But let me tell you something. Killing 2,999 babies a day does not please God. It's not going to please God. Look, you don't ask me what you think about alcohol if you don't want to know. Don't ask me what I think about drugs if you don't want. Don't ask me if you don't want to know. And if you come to church, I'm probably going to tell you anyway, and there will be people who don't like you. Sometimes it'll be people who don't like you who you've done a whole lot of things for. Here's the interesting thing. You can do 150 things good for some people, and you do one or two that they disagree with, and from then on, guess what? They're going to be done with you. But can I tell you today, I am not serving to make other people happy, although I try to do that, but I am serving to try to be faithful to God. If I have to choose between pleasing man and pleasing God, guess who I'm going to try to pick every time? I hope that I pick the Lord. So Paul said, be faithful, and then he talked about that. So be faithful whether people like you or not. Why should we be faithful? Because the Lord knows. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 5. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart, and then shall every man have praise of God. Listen, the Lord knows your heart tonight. The Lord knows if you want to be here tonight or not be here tonight. Can you imagine? I don't know what it's going to be like in heaven, but the Bible says God is going to bring everything into light. What does that mean? Well, one day you may stand before God, and God shows everybody that when church was in service, all you did was play on your phone and look at your phone the whole time. You didn't listen to the preaching, but He said He's going to bring things into light. I can't do that and don't intend to do that. But, you know, while you were sitting, I mean, listen, people do all sorts of things while they're in church. Rather than listen to the Word of God, and rather than listen to the preaching of the Word of God and try to learn something from God. But God's going to make all that. God knows your heart. And He knows exactly why you're here tonight. Can I tell you why I'm here tonight? It's just where I want to be. It's just where God wants me. I got a scratchy throat tonight. I got a sciatic nerve that's bothering me. Any of y'all ever have a sciatic nerve? I tried to get Steve to tell me what that thing was, but it didn't make no sense. You know what I know about a sciatic nerve? It hurts, you know. Some days it's good, some days it's bad, you know. But listen, I'm going to hurt at home. Matter of fact, if I'm sitting down, I hurt worse, so I just may preach till the sun comes up. You know? But God knows your heart tonight. So you just need to be faithful regardless of whether people like it or not. You need to be faithful because the Lord knows. Listen, you need to be faithful to man, to God, and not to man. I know some people, listen, you know, we've read here several times already in the book of, two times in the book of Corinth where people would say, well, I'm of Apollos, and I'm of Paul, and I'm of this, and, you know, and some people would say, well, I'm of Jesus. Now, you know who we ought to be of? We ought to all be of Jesus, but it's not a comparison kind of thing. I am not a camp person. Look, independent Baptists have as many problems as anybody else. You've got the Howells camp, you got the Revival Fires camp, you got the Sword of the Lord camp, you got this camp, you got that camp and stuff. Now, I know the group that I kind of line up with the most, but really, you know, listen, I wasn't brought up. I've read some of Jack Howells' books. There was a lot of people got saved, but Jack Howells, you know what Jack Howells was? Ultimately, he was just a man. He sinned just like I sinned. Now, had God given him greater ability? Yeah, but we're going to look at that in a minute. Don't get ahead of yourself. God may have given him greater ability to be doing some things. But, you know, I tell you what, some people act like that some of these people that lived on earth down here are the most important people in the world. But who's the most important person? God is. So we need to realize that, listen, I'm not asking you tonight to be faithful to Mike Evans, because Mike Evans is just a sinner saved by grace. You know who I'm asking you to be faithful to tonight? I'm asking you to be faithful to God. And you know, being faithful to God, you know what that means? That means you'll put up with me and my mistakes and the things that I do wrong. You'll put up with that because guess what I'm supposed to do for you? I'm supposed to put up with that. You think I agree? Listen, people say, I don't always agree with you. Well, I got news for you. I don't always agree with you either. I just don't always tell you when I don't agree with you. If I did, you say, why don't you always do that? Because I got enough people mad at me, you know. So we need to be faithful to God, not to man. You know, somebody, I was reading on the commentary a couple of weeks ago when I was preparing the earlier message, and they were talking about, I'm of Apollos, and I'm of Paul, and I'm of this person. He said, probably that's how denominations got started. Do you know how many times people ask me, why are there so many different denominations? And you know why I tell you there's so many denominations? Because people are puffed up and full of pride, and they will not be faithful to God. And they get hung up on this idea or that idea or doing this, and they end up following a man. Almost every denomination on the face of the earth started with a man. The Presbyterian Church started with, his name was in my head and just went out. John Wesley. John Wesley started the Presbyterians. Charles, who's the guy who started the Methodist Church? His brother? Wesley. John and Charles Wesley started the Methodist Church. And Martin Luther started the Lutheran Church. And these all started with men. But if you study the history of the Baptists, we got our name from somebody else. It didn't start with a man. It was a doctrine that we can trace all the way back to the time of Jesus Christ. It's one of the reasons why I'm an independent Baptist, because I believe they carry the right doctrines. I'm not saying they always have the right spirit, and I'm not saying they're perfect on things, but listen, denominations come because of our next point God wants us to do. If we're going to be faithful, you cannot be faithful and be full of pride. And that's a tricky subject. You know, I was listening to that guy today that was talking about these mega churches and all these churches and all the things that they're doing. You know, really, wonder what would, you know, Jesus asked the question, when he come back, he asked, would he find any what? Faith on the earth. Because churches have, in just a few years, churches have changed so much. I even know guys who I went to school with, and we were all on fire because of what we, you know, believed, and we learned some things from the Bible, and we're finding people that I graduated with that I never would have thought of it have turned away some things, and it breaks my heart that they've turned away from it. But do I have a right to be prideful? No, it's not about I'm better than you. You know, I sent somebody a video today of someone who I don't line up with exactly doctrinally. And I have a lot of problems with that person, and I'm not going to get into it. And I could tell you the problems, but he had a great message to meet the need that they had. And so I sent them that to where they could listen to that and help them maybe meet that need. Now, he and I wouldn't agree on a lot of things and stuff, but it's not about prideful. Here he says, you know, he says, you're in verse number 6, the last part of it, he said that one of you be puffed up for one against another. And then he asked this question, why shouldn't we be puffed up? Let me ask you, who maketh thee to differ one from another? Who made you different? God. Who gave Jack Howells his abilities? God did. Who gave Clarence Sexton his abilities? Who gave, and I could go on and on, who gave Mike Evans my abilities? God did. Now, if he gave them other guys more abilities and better, all, if listen, God chose to do that. Is God perfect? If God is perfect, then I don't have to compare myself to them. I just have to use what God has given me and do what God has given me. Are they better than me? No. They may have more ability, you know. I like to tease people all the time. They talk about some churches are, you know, run, they say how much many people they're running. If you're in a town of 300,000 people and you're running 400 people, is that a big church or a little church? It's a big church. Big church numerically wise. But if we're in a church of 5,000 and running 100, who has the bigger church? Percentage wise. You know, you're not going to build a 1,000-person church in Florida, Illinois. And now, it could happen, and if it does happen, who will do it? God will do it. There was the guy out in North Carolina, Bobby Robertson. Bobby Robertson out in North Carolina, a little church in the middle of nowhere. I don't know what kind of towns was around him, but he had a work going on out there that was unbelievable. Bobby Robertson was the most laid-back person in the world, you know. He showed up. I talked to one of his guys. I said, you know, how organized are you? He said, it's the most unorganized place you've ever seen in your life. I said, no, not with that many people. He said, no kidding. He said, Brother Bobby is the one. I love him, but he drives me nuts. This guy was a big organizer. He said he comes in Saturday morning. They have a bus meeting. And old Brother Bobby Robinson would say, well, we're going to run the buses tomorrow. Guess we ought to give the kids a treat. What are we going to give them? This is Saturday morning. He says, I know, I'll tell you. What do we have? We have Coca-Cola Sunday. He says, he calls out a couple of guys' names. You guys go buy some sodas. Make sure there's plenty of Coca-Colas here tomorrow. Tell every kid to ride the bus. We'll give them a Coca-Cola. You know? Next day, 400 kids get on that bus. Come to church for a Coca-Cola. Glory be to God. Listen, we don't have anything to be puffed up about. Who made you? God made you. Boy, and I tell you what, you're going to have some real faith in God. You'll put this pridefulness away, and you'll realize that pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit go before a fall. And we'll quit being full of pride, and we'll just realize that, as the Apostle Paul says, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. He said, I am the chiefest of sinners. And we'll recognize that if we're full of faith, we'll be trusting in God and not what you can do and not what I can do. That doesn't mean that you and I don't have requirements about some things. And so we ought to be faithful because, regardless of whether people like us, we ought to be faithful because the Lord knows. We ought to be faithful to God and not to man. We ought not to be prideful. Listen, how long should we be faithful? I like what the Apostle Paul says in verse number 9. He says, for I think that God has set forth us the apostles last as it were appointed to death, for we are made a spectacle unto the world. Listen, we ought to serve God until when? Until we die. Until we die. Listen, you know, I understand something. The older we get, the less we may be able to do. Somebody texted me today. There's a church looking for a pastor down in Fairfield. And one, you know, and they said, how long have you been there? I said, how old was you when you got there? I said, well, I think I was 45 when I got here. Been here 50 years. I'm 59, 15 and a half years. I'm 59 and a half. You know, and everything, but you say, how long are you going to stay here? Till Jesus takes me out. How long am I going to serve God? Till I die. Lee Robertson was still preaching when he was 90-something years old. Now, you probably can't pastor at 90-something years old. You say, how long can you pastor? I don't know. But I just want to keep serving God and doing what God wants me to do. Yeah, and you know, listen, I think that the days today, see, in America things got really good for a while and Christianity was popular and it was the thing to do. And so you could be a Christian back in just a few years ago, being a Christian was a good thing. But today, you know what it is? It's still a good thing, but the world don't look at it that way. In America, they don't look at it that way. Listen, aren't we living in the same, like the days of he said this. In verse number 10, he said, we are fools for Christ's sake. Guess who thinks we're fools? The world does. Man, I'm telling you what, you know, like I said, I go to news sites and read things that I know a lot of people don't read because I want to find out more about what's going on and stuff. But I'm telling you what, the education people of the day think we're just a bunch of idiots. Well, listen, we're climate deniers and we're science deniers because we believe in Christian, we believe in evolution, we believe in creation and not evolution. Science deniers, really? That same bunch that believes in evolution believes a man can say he's a woman and need an appointment at a gynecologist. And he doesn't have any of the equipment that a gynecologist checks out. Now you tell me who's a science denier. I'm not a science denier. Listen, I just, in my lifetime, 59 years old, you know, we had spurts where the weather was cold, we'd get a lot of snow, and then we'd have years where it'd be warm. And listen, there's an article you can get on YouTube and it says Spock and the Global and Ice Age. There's an art, you can watch Spock from Star Trek just in the 1970s tell how another ice age is coming. Well, where'd it go? And how did we get to global warming before the ice age hit? And now they want to change the name to climate change. I'm not a science denier. And they'll make fun of me and mock me and laugh at me, and I'm okay with that because the Apostle Paul was. I'm going to be faithful to God whether the world likes it or not. He says, we are fools for Christ's sake. We are weak, but you are strong. Ye are honorable, we are despised. He said, even in this present hour, we both hunger and thirst and are naked and are buffeted and have no certain dwelling place. You know what the Apostle Paul said? Just be faithful no matter what's happening. Be faithful in the good times and be faithful in the bad times. Good night. I was telling the Lord today, I said, man, Flora, Illinois has been through a lot. You know, in my 15 years since I've been here, they've shut down several places, you know. And is it going to keep happening? But listen, serve God. It's not near. It could be worse. Could be like RB Olette up there around Detroit, Michigan. Buddy, they shut down factories that had more people working in it than live in Florida, Illinois, you know. But we just serve God no matter what. Be faithful until the Jesus comes. We keep being faithful. The present hour doesn't change our position on faithfulness. But here's the thing. I was talking to a lady the other day, and we were talking. She told me where she went to church. I disagree with the doctrine of her church, and I said, "How many services a week did your church have?" She said, "3." They're all on Sunday morning. There's no Sunday evening service. There's no Wednesday evening service. Well, let me ask you a question: if that church, and it did, they used to meet Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. If it was faithful a few years ago to meet Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. What changed? What changed? I know people who used to come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and they were faithful. And now they don't come, but they still, if you ask them, guess what they still say they are? They're faithful. I'm talking about could be here and not come. I don't care what the world does. I know it's unpopular. There are less and less churches every year having these services. There are less and less churches every year that are having revival meetings. There's churches who don't have altar calls and stuff. But I just want to be faithful till Jesus comes. And I want to be a part of a church that is faithful till Jesus comes. And the more people in that church that are faithful to Jesus, the better off that church will be. I like what he says in verse number 14. He says, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. Can I tell you today, you say, preacher's up there preaching on faithfulness again, trying to beat us. Nope. If you want to be faithful, who is it between? It's between you and God. All I'm doing is warning you that if you want to please God, the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them who what? Diligently seek him. You're going to be rewarded for your faithfulness. And I'm warning you, it's between you and God now. But can I tell you what you need to do is you just need to be faithful. If these people at this church had been faithful, there wouldn't have been all the prideful things going on. And the things that we'll start looking at next week wouldn't have happened in that church. You mark her down when you're having a problem in church, it ends up being a faith problem. Because, you know, a lot of times, if I can't fix the problem, who do I have to have faith in to fix the problem? I just have to trust the Lord. And so the Apostle Paul writing to the church, He wanted them to be faithful. And he says, you know, he says, I'm coming. And he says, when I come, how do you want me to come? Do you want me to come with a rod? You want me to come in love and in the spirit of meekness? Guess which one he wanted to come as, I think. In love and in the spirit of meekness. But he says, I don't care what you say. I want to see your power. Guess who had the power of God on their life? The Apostle Paul did. Did he? And he wanted everybody else to have that power. And how do we obtain that power? We obtain it through faith in God. James said, James was talking about faith. Faith isn't something that's dead. Faith, real faith, produces work. You don't work in order to have faith, but a real faith in God produces a work in your life. And matter of fact, when you have real faith, other people will know it by what they see in you. Would you stand tonight with your heads bowed and your eyes closed? Father, we do thank you for the opportunity we have to look in the Bible. We thank you for this church at Corinth, and we can learn from some of their faults so we don't have to go through those faults. Lord, as we close tonight, we pray if there's anyone in the room here tonight that's not saved and they'd like to talk to someone about being saved, that they'd just come and ask us right after the service. Lord, there may be someone here that you dealt with their heart about them being faithful, and they realize they're not as faithful as they should be. Dear God, they're free to come to this altar tonight to get on their face before you and talk to you and ask you to help their faith. Lord, that's what that one man said. He said, Jesus said, if you believe, he said, I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. And we need to ask you, dear God, to help us to have more faith, to trust you and to live for you. Bless us as we close tonight. Lord, bless our services this week. Bless our skating party, that everything would be done to glorify and honor you. And help us, Father, to reach souls for Jesus and to teach them to be faithful. We ask it in his name. Amen. Amen.